Chicago. What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up, Chicago? That's right. It is. We get this bag though. Now we got it. Now we got it. It is Wednesday, 8th, May 3rd, 2017. And Ticket and Limits Office on the air live from the West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And we have an outstanding show for you today. Man, I am excited. I'm excited. I'm excited. Watch this. The topic is going to be hot, y'all. Y'all ready for this? Your pastor is broken, and it's okay. Your pastor is broken, and it's okay. I don't even, man, that's going to be good. I'm excited about it. I can't wait to dive right into it. It's going to be good. I hope y'all are ready. Look, y'all, real quick. Let me give you a rundown of what's happening going on right here. Look, it's your boy, your host, Mr. Danny L. King, and I'm all by myself. That's right, I'm all by myself. But it's all good. It's all good. We got a good show. We're going to have some fun today. It's going to be outstanding. I am just excited about it. Let me give you a rundown on how you can be a part of today's show. If you're already listening on the line, simply push 1, and you can be a part of today's broadcast. If you are listening, via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, area code 347-934-0546. We would love to hear from you that way. If you are on social media, so are we. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there. If you are on Twitter, if you want to tweet the show, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio, and you will find us there. Let's see. What do we got? The podcast. Oh God, come on, man, get together. The podcast is available. Just simply go to your iTunes account, do a simple search for Taking Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there. Again, Taking Limits Off with Dana and Devon, you will find us there. And then last but not least, absolutely, the live streams are up and running. Ustream.tv, you can find us there. Again, simply go to Ustream.tv, you can find us there. And Facebook Live, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there. Again, it's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there. The live streams, there we go. The live streams are up and running. I know people are like, where at? Here we go. So we are on there now. Let's see, sound. All right, yeah, we're going to adjust that. So I'm going to figure out what's going on with the sound because I do hear the noise in my ear as well. So we're going to try to get that situated. As best we can. We're going to take a quick break, y'all, and we're going to jump into some more conversation. Y'all ready? Hey, if you want to email the show, email us, takinglimitsoff@comcast.net. Again, that's takinglimitsoff@comcast.net. We're going to take a real quick break. We'll be back in a few moments. Y'all ready? All right. Be right back, y'all. TTLO. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We are back. We are back. We are back. We are back. Hopefully that fixed the sound. Maybe it did. Maybe it didn't. We're going to figure it out in a few minutes. We're going to figure it out in a few minutes. Sometimes stuff just happens. You know, hey, stuff just happens. But we're going to work through it. We're going to work through it. We are going to work through it. Okay. All right. So hopefully we're going to get this, we're going to get this worked out. Y'all bear with us. Hey, you know, stuff is happening around here. Who knows what's going on? We're at the mercy of the internet. For those of you on Blog Talk Radio, we're at the mercy of the internet. We're at the mercy of our cable provider, of our internet provider, which happens to be Comcast. So we're at the mercy of our internet provider. So y'all pray to me that this thing straightens itself out in the next few minutes. I'm sure it probably will. It's just taking some time, but we're gonna work with it the best way we know how. And y'all just stay prayerful, and we're gonna get this thing together. Amen. Amen. Look, y'all, so much is going on, man. Look, I want you all to do this real quick, if you can hear me. I know if it's a little staticky, I don't hear it, so I don't know it now, but I know it is. I'm taking your words for it, and my producer is working on her end too. So we can try to get this thing cleared up for you guys. But at the same time, what I want you guys to do is this. Pastor Parks, Pastor Parks, oh, they said they can't hear, now you can't hear me at all. and now no sound. Really? Really? Really?
No sound.
All right, let's see now. Okay. Wow. No sound. We don't see what's going on. Not sure what's going on. We're gonna get it together. But this is the situation. I'm gonna take a break. I'm gonna be right back. I'm gonna put some more music on, and we don't see what's going on, y'all. Something ain't right. We're gonna get it together. Be right back, y'all. TTLO. We gonna go with what we got. Y'all play for me. Y'all play for me.
Oh God.
Yeah, back. Look, better mind to the situation. Y'all, hopefully it gets cleaned up in the field. It's gonna get cleaned up in the field. Y'all patient. Y'all praying. Are y'all putting y'all hands on the computer and touching and agreeing that this thing straighten itself out? I don't believe y'all praying. Look, let me give them old school. Let me go old school Christian on y'all. The reason we ain't having no success because y'all ain't praying hard enough. Ain't that the worst? Ain't that the worst thing the preacher can say? Well, the reason you're going through that, you must not be praying hard enough. Who says that to somebody? I've never thought that was the appropriate thing to say, although it has been said to me and been said to other folks that I know. How crazy is that? You know, the reason you're going through what you're going through, you must not be praying enough. Why would you say that to somebody? Seriously, why would you say that to somebody, that they're not praying enough? Do you know that person's prayer life? That's a real question. Do you even know that person's prayer life? You probably don't. Be right back, y'all. All right. So I'm just making sure that we actually got a connection going over here. Just want to make sure we good, because something didn't sound right. So I'm just looking at, just trying to make sure we good. We are good. Yeah, all right. So anyway, what's going on with y'all? What's going on today? What's happening? So much stuff is going on in our city and around, you know, stuff, things that we're dealing with. What's going on with y'all? Y'all, look, I want to do a quick reminder about what happened on Monday. You know, it was just amazing. Again, I thank you all for everything I thank you for the input and everything that happened on Monday. It's just amazing to be surrounded by powerful prayer warriors like yourselves. It just does something for me. It just does something for me. I'm just grateful to just even be a part of what we have going on. So, okay. So look, so at the time, Facebook is still kind of messed up, but we're gonna deal with it the best way we can. I'm just, it's a little weird. I'm trying to figure out how Blog Talk is good. And yeah. All right. Anyway. We're gonna keep it moving. So look, watch this. I heard today that I don't know if you guys saw this. Our president, our current president, we all know him, number 45, is saying that he wants to meet with. He would be honored if he could meet with the dictator from North Korea, Kim Jong-il, whatever his name is. He said he would be honored. To meet with this person. And I just found that to be somewhat amazing that's his thought. Because watch this. When Obama said that he would be willing to meet with dictators from other countries to try to come to some sort of peaceful solution, they reamed him. They went all the way in on him, and I mean to a point where you would think that he had committed some sort of crime, and they said that as a president, you should not meet with these dictators because you give them you make them credible when they're sitting on the stage with the president of the United States, with technically the most powerful person on the planet. But Trump has said, and he went on record to say, I think it would be an honor. He said it would be an honor to sit down with this guy from North Korea. I don't even get it. It's crazy to me that that's the situation. But look, what we're gonna do is this. I know you guys are having issues on Facebook Live, so I want to do this. I'm gonna give you the link for Ustream, right? I'm going to give you the link for Ustream. If you're able to watch on Ustream, you can click the link. You can go to the Ustream and you can watch from there, because I don't think we're having any issues on Ustream. So I'm going to give you the link for Ustream, and you're welcome to go there and watch if you can't watch on Facebook Live. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I want to give you, make sure I just give you the link so that you're able to share or watch this via Ustream. Okay? I'm going to do that for you. I'm going to do it for you right now. So if you have the link for Ustream, not if anybody can hear anything, all static. Yeah, I hear you. There you go. So y'all can go to the Ustream page. You can go to the Ustream page and do that. And you can watch via Ustream. Go to the Ustream page and you can watch via Ustream. Facebook is having its own issues today. I ain't taking the blame for it. It's all on them. So you can go to Facebook, Ustream. I just put the link in there. You can try to click that link and watch the show from there. I'll be on that side, because in a minute we're going to take this down. We're going to take the Ustream, the Facebook link down if it doesn't clear up, because I don't like I just want to make sure that you all can hear what's going on. So I'm going to take another quick break. My producer's telling me we're still good on the Blog Talk side. That's important. That's important. That's what I want to hear. So we're good. We're going to take another real quick break, right? We're going to come right back, and we're going to continue this conversation, because I want y'all opinions on something, man. I just want y'all opinions on something. I got another one of them questions, right? Another one of the questions I want to ask. So y'all get ready, man. This is going to be good. We'll be right back, y'all. TTLO. daughter option, and the daughter option to Facebook Live. If it hasn't gotten any better, I'm not sure what's going on with Facebook. God bless you. I'm going to speak to y'all, and then I'm going to ask y'all to move over to the other room if y'all can. I don't know what's going on with Facebook today. They're having their own issues. But if you're able to, please go ahead and switch over. If you want to call in and listen to the show, if you want to just call in from the phone and listen to the show, oh, it's much better. Okay, if you want to call in and listen from the phone, you can. That phone number is area code 347-934-0546. Again, that phone number is area. It's already in the chat, so I think my producer put it up there for you. It's area code 347-934-0546. You can dial in and listen that way. I've just put the link up for Ustream if you want to watch the show, because I know some of y'all real spoiled. Y'all don't want to listen like the other people listen. Y'all like to see, and I understand that. I get it. So if you have to watch the show, then I'm going to ask you to go and click the link that I just posted. It's under my name. It's the Ustream.com link. You can watch us live on Ustream. I'll repost it again right now for you. Okay, there it is. I'll post it again. Hopefully that's better. What's going on, Dr. Jones? I see you, man. God bless you. Thank you. I hope it is better for everybody else as well. I'm not sure what's going on, but I hope it is better. I'm gonna put the whole blame on Comcast, because I'm getting the sneaking suspicion that this is about Comcast today and some stuff going on over here, because there was a truck down the block, and I don't know if he's working on some stuff or not, but you know, they do stuff and they don't tell you, they just kind of do it, and you just kind of have to deal with it during the process. So here's the question. So Monday, I asked you all this question, and this was the spark question. I asked you all, what's your preparation process for getting ready to go to church, right? I asked you, what does your Sunday morning look like as you prepare to go into church? Y'all right? Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that Facebook? Y'all remember that? Matter of fact, let me speak to the people over here real quick. Let me not miss nobody. Let's see. Joyce Liberty, I see you. God bless you. Kathleen Savon, God bless you. Yolanda King, I see you. Tony Woodward, I see you. Tamika, I see you. Let's see who else is on here. Tony Woodward, what's going on, Doc? Uh-huh. I see you. Danny Jones got you, and Norma Worthy. I see y'all. Come on in. Y'all come on in. It's a bunch of y'all in here, but y'all ain't saying nothing to nobody. Y'all need to act like y'all can speak. Act like a good Christian and come on in. So either way, you can do that. If the Facebook doesn't stay valid, I'm going to kill it. I'm going to let my producer be the judge. She'll let me know if it's still super bad. We're going to end up killing it, and y'all can switch over to Ustream. I'm going to get out about another 5 minutes or so. But anyway, so here's today's question. Here's today's question. So after you get a sermon, right, you've been to church on Sunday. Stay with me. You've been to church, and hopefully you go to a church where the preacher who preaches, God bless you, Dariah Zapata. How are you today? Okay. So, my bad. So the preacher preaches. And hopefully you go to a church where after the sermon, you get application for what it is he was trying to do. Okay? Hopefully they give you application. My question is this: how many of you all, after you've been preached to on Sunday, go back and look at the actual scripture that was given for understanding? Because think about it. A sermon is all of 25 minutes, unless y'all go to one of them old school churches and they put you for an hour. A sermon is all of 20 to 25 minutes, maybe 30. Okay? Right. What happens when you've gotten the word? Do you take the time to go back and study what was preached? That's a real question. Do you take the time to study and go back for understanding to see what was preached? Why are you asking that question? I want to know what the process is. What do you actually go through during the process? What systems are you using to further your relationship with Christ? So after you've been preached to on Sunday, what do you do with what you got? Are you one of those people? Somebody asks you what you do there with the church. How was church today? It was wonderful. That preacher, no, he preached. Well, what did he preach about? I don't know. Are you my group of people? I'm just curious. Are you that group of people that you don't really know what to do with what you would get, or are you not getting enough that you can take it back home? And I've listened to, I've been in church my whole life pretty much. I've listened to some amazing preachers, and some of their sermons still stick with me today. So my question is this: are you taking what you're getting on Sunday? Are you taking what you're getting on Sunday? And then thank you. And my producer, what's her name today? She told me to leave this up. If y'all choose to stay with the crazy static, y'all can. I'm going to leave it up for today. But trust me, we're going to get this fixed because y'all know I don't like mess. What's her name today? Okay, Bumblebee. Lord have mercy. Y'all pray for the producer. Bumblebee. Lord have mercy. So how do you take what you get on Sunday and then work it for that week? Now, I'm looking at some comments here. Brother Worthy says, I go to Bible study on Monday. Uh-huh, okay. And then Dariah says, I actually study the passage as I'm about to preach it myself, as if I'm about to preach it myself. Yeah, now see, that's good. Because, see, as preachers, let me give y'all a little insight. As preachers, when we go to a church, somebody else's church, or when we sit under someone else's preaching, we listen to the scripture that they give us. And then we listen to the subject that they give us. And then we start to listen to, quote unquote, you know, some preachers have two points, 3 points. Some preachers have 5 points, and five is way too many. Can I say that again? Five is way too many. Man, look, you'll get you 3 points and sit down. Talk about I got 8 points. I want to share with you today. You got how many? No. But seriously. What do you do with that? Now, the reason I asked that question, I know there's always a reason behind it. Have you then looked at that same scripture? Oh, now she's telling me how to pronounce her name. You know what? Hey, Bumblebee. Handle this over here. No. Anyway, I'm gonna. Is that diarrhea? Is that what it is? Yeah, I don't want. Now, see, you make them sound like I'm saying diarrhea or something. See, now that ain't godlike. So, anyway, here's my question: have you then looked at that same scripture? Have you looked at that same scripture and then gotten either something totally different? Not bad, but totally different. Or what you found was what they preached about did not match at all what the scripture was. I'm going to try to say that again. Have you listened to a sermon on Sundays? Have you listened to a sermon? Did the research yourself, came back and realized that what the sermon topic was, what their context that they put into their exegesis, hopefully they were exegeting and not eisegeting, but have you then taken that information and said, well, wait a minute, this don't match? Or have you been sitting in service before and a preacher got up to preach, and as he's preaching and he's using all these lovely words and talking about this and the Greek means this and all this other stuff, and you found out that none of this stuff actually means or connects to the scripture that's being preached? That's a question. You want to chime in? Y'all know the number. The phone number is area code 347-934-0546. Area code 347-934-0546. I just want to know if that's something that you've done, and have you found out that what was the description of the scripture, the contextualizing of the scripture didn't actually meet what the scripture was saying? Huh? Have you all ever had that happen before? I know I've had it happen before. I have. I've been in churches and a preacher gets up to preach, or the pastor, whoever, and I'm sitting there. Because here's the deal. I like studying the Word of God. I enjoy it. And I love hearing different preachers preach. And especially if it's a sermon that if it's a scripture that's really close to my heart, I like to hear them preach, because I want to hear what revelation God gave them all of the scripture. I really want to hear that. So what I'll do is, I'll try to find out how they're breaking it down, and then I go back and I try to say, oh, okay, this actually works. But what happens when it doesn't connect? Now, I just saw a comment from Felicia says, what's going on, Felicia? I saw a comment from Felicia. She says, I find that usually if it's not right, it does not sit well in my spirit. Wow. Wow. Normal worthy, bless you. She says, my brother, Pastor Marvin Graham, is a great pastor, but I've said other pastors in the past that I couldn't say amen to everything. She says, you cannot say amen to everything. Woo! My. You cannot say amen to everything. Now, it's not a sign of disrespect when someone is preaching and what they're preaching does not line up with the word of God if you choose not to applaud, not to shout hallelujah, or not to say amen just because they threw some extra inflections in their voice to get their point across. So I'm asking your opinion. Is it disrespectful? Do I have any pastors on the line? Anybody? Listen, I know I got y'all all over the place. Area code 347-934-0546. Again, area code 347-934-0546. What's your feeling on that when the word is being attempted to be preached and it's not matching up or lining up with God's word? The sermon does not line up with the scripture. I just want to know what your feelings are on that, because see, let me give you I'm gonna give you all a little lesson today on Bible study. There's two terms for preaching. For good, there's one for good preaching and one for bad preaching. Good preachers exegete the scripture. Okay, good preachers exegete the scripture. That's what they do. They exegete the scripture. Bad preachers eisegete the scripture. Bad preachers eisegete the scripture. There's a difference between exegesis and eisegesis. Huh? So here it is. See, when you exegete, you're simply expounding on what's already there, right? So I'll give you an example. The wall behind me, I know because of the lighting and everything, y'all can tell, but the wall behind me is blue, right? The wall behind me is blue. That's the color of the paint. It was blue, right? Okay, so if I'm going to expound on that, I'm going to say, you know what? Yes. I'm going to say, just type that in. Okay, I'll give it to you. The wall is blue. Now I'm going to tell you about the shades of blue, right? That's me expounding. I'm not changing what I'm not telling you it's something else. I'm not telling you that it's something else. I'm going to tell you strictly and deal with what it actually is. Now, if I wanted to eisegete the scripture, okay, if I wanted to eisegete the scripture, then what would happen is this. I would say, now you see this color blue? Now, what God meant by blue was, see, now I'm finna just change. See, no, just deal with what he did here. That's when you try to make the scripture say something that it does not mean or ever had intention on meaning. Eisegete. It's real simple. Exegete, spelled E-X-E-G-E-T-E. E-X-E-G-E-T-E. Let me help somebody right now. The term is strictly exegesis. That's what it is. That's the term. I'm going to put this in here for y'all. Let me get on the right computer over here, because I don't have a Facebook Live over here, because I was trying to keep it down. But let me pull that up. But seriously, that's the term. The word, it's really simple, but it's something that we have to be careful to make sure that we are getting correct information. So the correct word is exegesis, right? There it is. I just typed it in there for you. Exegesis. E-X-E-G-I I'm sorry, EXEGESIS. Got it, right? Okay. So now, the opposite of that, the opposite of exegesis. The opposite of exegesis is what? Eisegesis. Now y'all say, now, why is he giving us a Bible study lesson? I'm just trying to tell you all how to deal with when people are not necessarily preaching from the Bible, when I'm trying to make it to fit what they want it to fit and not the intention of the Bible. That's all. That's all I'm trying to do. I want y'all to follow me. Now, that was exegesis. Eisegesis, come on, stay with me. I'm going to give that one to you, too. Eisegesis, real simple, spelled E-I-S-E-G-E-S-I-S. I just put it in the comments. It's in there, just in case you didn't say add it. It's in there. Just look up the definitions. It's strictly when you want to make something sound like something else. That's when you put your own interpretation, your own spin on it. When you make it say something that it does not say, but I got this great catchphrase that I've been working on, and I need to find a scripture that fits it, so I'm gonna twist this thing around so that it makes my sermon sound good. Because I had this thought in my head, and I know it sounds spiritual, it sounds like God's gave it to me, but I need to find a scripture to back it up. And so I'm going to find something that's close enough, and then if I got a bunch of people in the room and they don't open up their Bibles, I can preach anything. Huh? So you know that term where the Bible says people will have itch, the scripture where it says people will have itching ears. Y'all do know that there is a Bible scripture that talks about people with itching ears. I believe it's in 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, somewhere around in there, 2 Timothy chapter 4, where the Bible speaks about people who don't like to be they don't want. The conviction of the word, so they're going to go looking for the stuff that appeases them. And then, unfortunately, we have a lot of preachers and pastors who preach to appease people, and they preach to please people. They don't preach to disciple people. Come on, I'll say that again. You have a lot of preachers who preach to appease people. They preach to praise people. But they don't preach to disciple people. Well, where's that? Second Timothy. Somebody find Second. Look, I'm in church. Turn with me, if you will, if you have your Bibles. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Second Timothy, chapter 4, verse 3. No, it simply says this. Let me look it up. It says, I'll read the King James, and I'll read the regular version. King James says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That's the King James Version. I'll read it again. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Can I give you a cleaner version of that? The English Standard Version says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Ah, come on now. See, now you know. Okay, now follow me. This is what I'm saying. I don't want a preacher preaching over me just to make me feel good. I don't want a preacher preaching over me to avoid the things that I might be struggling with, but because you never teach it and preach on it, then I just keep going along like everything is all good. I don't need that type of preacher, and neither do you. They don't need preachers and teachers who do not teach you about the consequences. Yeah, we don't need preachers and teachers who are afraid to teach accountability, who are afraid to teach consequences. See, when you don't teach consequences, you punish your own people. when you don't teach consequences, you set your own people up for failure. Oh, my God. Berea says, you cannot use the word of God to justify your wrong. Yeah. They can't. But watch this. When you have people who want to have a large flock, who want to have large congregations, who don't want to offend a certain sect of people because of their lifestyle choices. So now I'm going to not teach and preach on that word. I am going to skip around it. I'm going to avoid the conversation. Can I help somebody? When I go to the doctor, oh Lord, let me help somebody right now. When I go to the doctor, I want the doctor to tell me about my physical health, right? I go to take a physical once a year. I take two doctor visits a year, or three actually. Two to the doctor and two to the dentist, right? If that's what the plan gives, that's what I take. But I go to the doctor, right? So I go to the physical, and the process of getting a physical, y'all stay with me. Don't miss this. If y'all didn't hit the share button, I know it was a little staticky. I don't know if it's still bad or not, but I don't want nobody to miss this. If you haven't hit the share button and invited your people, then you need to go ahead and get that done real quick. But this is what I'm trying to tell you right now. If when you go to the doctor, right? When you go to the doctor, you want the doctor to give you all the information necessary to find out what your health is. If there's anything you need to be on the lookout for, if there's anything that seems to stick out that doesn't quite fit with what's going on, you want to know this, right? You want to know all these things. So watch this. When I go to the doctor, I go to my doctor. I don't have it. The only issue that I've ever had is a headache. That's it. I used to have really high cholesterol, right? I'm going to share some information with y'all, see? I used to have really high cholesterol. I mean, like, really, really bad, like, you know. And what happened was, I'm going to be transparent and be real. I'm going to be real honest with you. I used to have really bad cholesterol. And that's because I ate whatever I wanted to eat for as long as I wanted to eat, and however I wanted, that was just me. I don't care. If I wanted to eat rib tips every day, I would eat rib tips every day. If I wanted to eat greasy food, fried food, if that's how I felt, that's what I would do, right? But at some point, I went to my doctor. My doctor, Dr. Forbes, bless her heart, my doctor says, when she took my blood work, she says, well, you know, everything is good. She said, but your cholesterol is ridiculous. And I just kind of laughed it off. I said, okay, you know, and that's when I turned 40. So as the years go on, you know, as the years go on, I said, well, she says, your cholesterol is still high. This was the last time she told me this, right, a couple years ago. She says, if you don't get your cholesterol under control, she says, you are going to have a problem. And she says, I cannot let you walk out of here not knowing what's going to happen to you. So she gave me a list of things that could happen to me because of my high cholesterol, right? Then she says, and if it gets to a point where it gets that and stays that bad, I'm going to put you on cholesterol medication. Now, I know people who take cholesterol medication. Cholesterol medication is not good. It ain't fun. No. You don't want it in your life. You just don't want it, right? So what I did was I had to start changing some things about my eating habits so that my physical man, come on somebody, so that my physical man could get what was needed. You see what I'm saying? Now watch this. Let's go back, take it back to the church house. If we're talking about being spiritual, then when I go to the church, I need the preacher and the teacher to be giving me all of the information. Come on, somebody. To be giving me all of the information I need so that my spiritual man has what's necessary. So if there's something wrong with my spiritual man, he points that out to me so that I can then start the what? Correction process. Oh my God, y'all don't miss this, y'all. Please don't. I don't want y'all to miss this. I really don't. I really don't. I really don't. I don't want y'all to miss this. It needs to be said that you cannot just go to church over and over and over again and not be looking for some incremental changes in both your physical and spiritual self. You just can't do it. It does not work. It does not work. It is necessary that who's ever preaching to you and who's ever teaching you give you the full gospel. Not just some part-time, halfway, made up this, that, or the third, or try to make you feel some kind of way. The full gospel. Because watch this. What's the point of doing all of those things? What's the point of going to the doctor and they never tell you what's wrong with you? And they never point out to you what's wrong with you. You know what you would do? You would see, watch this. Let your mother or your child go to the doctor. And you see them having some issues, but you don't know what it is because you're not qualified to find out, right? You don't know. So you do what? You take them to the doctor. And you take them to the doctor to find out what's wrong. And the doctor just keeps coming back saying, hey, well, you know what? Here's the situation. You know, just eat some vegetables and increase this and do that. And you'll be fine. Oh, you know what? You're doing well. Just exercise. But the doctor does not dig deep. He does not do a thorough examination. He does not give you all of the details. What would happen is if something happened to your parent or to your child or to your sibling, you would want to sue for malpractice. Oh, Lord, I'm finna get myself in trouble. But I'm going to say this right here. There are some preachers. There are some pastors, there are some folk standing in the pulpit. Can I say this like I mean? There are some folks in the pulpit who have to be sued for malpractice. There are some folks that ought to be sued for malpractice, huh? Because you've got some folk who've came to you for some help and came to you for some direction, and they came to you and you sold them a bill to go, oh, just pay your tithes and everything will be fine. Or if you just pray a little bit more, everything will be fine. If you just give a little more, everything will be fine. No. Hell no. That ain't it. That's not going to get it. I'm telling you right now, there are some folk who are standing in some pulpits and standing in front of some podiums on Sundays and pulpits on Sunday and standing in front of a podium on Wednesday teaching that need to be sued for their practice. I don't mean no harm, but if I'm sitting there and I'm spiritually sick and I'm coming here, so that means my heart is willing. I'm coming to a place that I'm willing to be taught and nurtured, and you got the nerve to skip over what I need and ignore what's right in front of you, preacher, pastor, bishop, cardinal, huh, pope? Help me. Y'all help me. That's a real question. Because if you're not given the right diagnosis, how can the cure start? If you don't know the diagnosis, how can I give you the proper prescription without first knowing the diagnosis? Huh? How can I get you? I can't tell you. They're telling me you're going through depression, and depression runs in your family, and there's a spirit of depression over there. And I tell you, well, you know, the Bible says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shake it together, will not get it to your bosom." Huh? What you see? What I'm saying? That don't work. You can't do that. That ain't never been good. And it's not going to be. Oh my God. I mean, how can you expect people to grow How can you expect people to grow when you're not giving them proper nourishment? Huh? I mean no harm. Now, see, I know this in the church. See, let me say this. Outside the church, I don't believe we got grown folks eating garbage Bible food. I'll say that again. Outside of the church, I don't believe there are grown people walking up and down the street eating Gerber baby food. I just love Gerber. No, Gerber is not paying us. Now, if Gerber would like to be a sponsor, we would love to have you. But I'm just using them for an example. But you don't see grown folks eating Gerber baby food, right? But in the church house, some of us are real comfortable eating them steamed pears, eating that applesauce. Come on now, some of y'all are still real comfortable. Eating that little, eating them crushed up peas and green beans and steamed carrots. We're real comfortable in that. And the minute somebody tries to throw a piece of love at you, or you're offended, huh? Oh, Lord. My. What time is it? Tell you, we got, let me know when I get to, when I got 30 minutes. Let me know when I got 30 minutes. Let me, I'm sorry. That's her name. I messed that up again. Bumblebee. Let me know. Lord, have mercy. Let me know when we got 30 minutes, Lord. Let me know when we get down to the 30 minute mark so I can jump into this, to today's article. But, you don't get what I'm saying? If you want to comment on this, you can. Area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. I'm just kind of over this lack of our people not wanting to grow and refusing to grow. See, everything you can't blame on the preacher. Everything you can't. Some stuff is up to you. Some stuff is up to you. I'm sorry. I don't mean to step on no toes. And watch this, Mama. I appreciate what you said. She says you're stepping on some toes today. Let me say this. Before I step on anybody's toes, I step on my own. Let me say that again. Before I stepped on anybody's toes, I step on my own. I mean that. Let me read some more of those comments. Catherine says, I'm giving an account at the throne. God will say, depart from me. I do not know you. Norma says, that's why you can't lean on the arms of men, but rather stand on the word. Yeah, that's good. Catherine says, people understand word in carnality and not in supernatural receiving. God has a distance. Ooh! Now, see, that's a teaching lesson. See, now, Kathleen, you're going a little too deep now, but I want you. I follow you. I get it. She says, you have to internalize word inside in a metamorphosis process of heart transformation. So you have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to be willing to have a change, repent, and to be willing to be changed and repent and constantly be delivered into His likeness. You have to experience God in ecstasy of the spirit realm. World is an illusion. Spirit realm is reality. Wow. That's good. Yeah, I know Facebook acting up, y'all. It's probably pausing and stopping on y'all. I see that in front of me. That ain't nothing but our internet. I can tell you that right now. I know that for a fact. Comcast is doing something special today. And that's all of them. That I do know. Anytime it's that bad, I can absolutely tell that that's them. So anyway, I just wanted to ask that question. You know, why is there no application building? Why are we missing out on the actual meat of what God's word actually says and we're settling for the baby food version? But I guarantee you this, and I'm going to move on. Carry your behind to the restaurant. You and a couple of your adult friends, and I guarantee you, none of you full grown Negroes or whatever nationality you are, but none of y'all are ordering from the cash menu. Huh? I guarantee ain't none of y'all will all go sit down to eat at your nice restaurant. I guarantee you, if you're there with other adults and there are no children on the list, ain't none of y'all ordering from the kids menu. But when you walk your behind in church on Sunday morning, you want the apple, you want the kids menu. I don't want you to give me nothing too hard, bitch. I don't want you to chastise me. I don't want you to challenge me. I want the kids menu. I don't want the steak of the word. Can you just give me the chicken tenders? I don't want the casa. No. I don't want the main course. Can you just give me an order? Can you give me a cheese stick kind of word? That's what y'all want. That's what you want. And we got to move beyond that. We have got to move beyond that. We can't stay that way. We cannot stay that way. Because it does us no good. We're not growing. How are we growing and constantly eating this little stuff? When the pastor got to preach, or when the preacher gets up to preach, and everybody else popping out their fork to sit down and eat at the table, he ain't gonna wish on one barrel for a bottle. Huh? Everybody else sitting at the table with a fork, and you come out your bag, bye-bye. Oh, Lord. Y'all pray for me. Oh, Lord. Pray for me. Look, y'all, it's time to jump into today's article. I know some of y'all have already hit the share button. Some of y'all have already hit the share button. But, y'all hit the share button. We're going to jump into today's conversation. I'm going to take this quick break. Let my brother do some quick talking for about 30 seconds. When we jump back, we're going to get right back, y'all, to talk.
We hope that you're enjoying today's broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347-934-0546, or you can reach us at 855-381-8804. We would like to hear from you.
Today's conversation, man. I am excited about it. It's going to be good. Definitely want to make sure that we do that. Thank you for that, because I did not want to forget to do that. But man, today's conversation is going to be good. I want y'all to make sure y'all get this. And it's simply entitled, "Your Pastor is Broken, and It's Okay." Your pastor is broken, and it's okay. That's going to be good, y'all. I don't know about y'all, but that's all that thing. And that thing jumped out of me. I said, oh, yeah, jump all over this. Let's go. Let's get it. Let's get this right now. Come on. Let's go. So I want to jump right into this. The writer said, this is, your pastor is broken. And it's okay. So this is what the writer says. The writer says this. He says, an old friend, Richard, recently called me. He said, I used to live in town and attend my church for the past 7 years or so. He's been a member of a large church in Phoenix. He says, we were chatting up and reminiscing about how old friends when he said to me, I had coffee with my current man's pastor yesterday, and he told me some honest things about his marriage and about something stupid he said to his wife. I chimed in and said, that's cool. He awkwardly paused and then said with a confused tone, how is that cool? He says, it's cool that your pastor owns this stuff, and that he's being real with you. It's the people who try to hide and deny their sins that worry me. Oh, God. Yeah. Y'all don't want it. So he says this. He says, I guess I expected the guy pastoring men to be more spiritually mature. He says, without hesitation, I reminded Bob of the many times he'd heard me tell stories of my idiocy. He says, I also told him we all walk with a limp, and none of us is without a soul blemish or two or 20. Then he says, on this side of eternity, The reality, we don't like to admit, but lust is that we all fall short on perfection. So let's jump right into this. Let me ask this question. If you were sitting down with your mother, right, or if everybody was doing the teaching, and part of that man's teaching process was his transparency, and he shared with you some things that weren't necessarily Christ-like, that he was either dealing with or some stuff that he had been through. But is that a turnoff for you? Or do you want your pastor to be honest with you? Do you want to know the person over you has some issues too, or was struggling with some things too? I'm just asking. Let's jump into it, y'all, because this is where it gets good. Let's go. So the writer says this. He says, on this side of eternity, the reality we don't like to admit, but lust is that we all fall short of perfection. He says this, we say things that hurt. We do things that offend. We think things we don't want to think. We go to places in our hearts that are dark and terribly inconsistent with who we are in Christ. My. Woo, God. So this here, this shows the frailty of us as humans. That's what this does. This shows the frailty of us as humans. And we need to recognize, come on now, we need to recognize these things as they happen and not run from them. The worst thing we can do, is try to mask an issue. Or as I say in the law, put a band-aid over a bullet wound. Huh? That's one of the worst things we can do as people, as Christians, is to try to, and it's not that you want to put all your business on Front Street. That's not what I'm saying. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm not saying it at all. What I'm simply saying is, when you're going through something, you don't want it, you don't need to I'm not saying that you broadcast it, but what I'm saying is, have that open-mindedness to be able to say, hey, you know what? We're having a situation, or I'm experiencing something, and I just need you all to be in prayer for me. I need you all to be in prayer for me. That's just something that's just real, and that's just how you deal with these things. Let's keep going. Then the writer says this. He says, if you can relate, then welcome to the human race. The writer says this. He says, yes, we have been transformed into the image of Christ. Of course, we should be growing. The plan is for us to mature in our faith and to sin less. But most of us miss the marks of purity and perfection on a fairly regular basis, pastors included. The writer goes on to say, I've been in ministry for nearly 40 years. I've pastored small churches and a big church. I've been on a lot and been on large church staffs. I've also been close to quite a few mega church pastors over the years. Wow. Of course we should be growing. Of course we should be further along in our Christian walk. But that does not mean that we're not still going to have some issues. Y'all with me? Y'all following? Y'all got this? This ain't too deep, right? This is everyday life here. This is real life. This ain't too deep. Y'all got this thing. Let's go. Because you don't want this. Watch this. If you put on a facade, now everything is wonderful in your life. And then watch this. When you finally reach that point of the breakdown, whether it be public or private, you put on a facade for so long that everything is wonderful. That when you have this public breakdown, those people, instead of them being able just to comfort you on a humanistic level, They're not going to be able to, because you've put out this superhuman, you've put out this facade of superhuman capability of nothing bothers you, nothing ever offends you. You're not easily bothered. You don't have emotion. You don't have feelings. You're not offended, but you are. I'm not saying fly off the handle every time something happens. That's not what I'm saying. It's not all what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, as Christians, as growing Christians, the things that we experience, the things that we go through, we need to be able to show the broken sides of holy God. We need to be able to do that. Look, y'all, I'm going to take a quick break because now I'm hearing some low noise and some other stuff going in the ear. Bubba B, let me know if we better what's happening on that end over there. But we're going to take a real quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation. Y'all, this is good. Your pastor is broken, and it's okay. We're going to be right back, y'all. I promise we're going to be right back. TTLO, Lost Time Bless. I'm back. Appreciate y'all's patience with all of those lovely technical difficulties today, but God is still good. We look right there in the middle of this conversation, man, and I want to jump right back into it. We're in the middle of this thing, and I don't want to miss nothing. But we were talking about the pastor is broken, and it's okay. The pastor is broken, and it's okay. Let's jump into this. So he says this. This is the next one. This is the very next statement. He says, I can assure you of this. Every pastor is fractured, and some more than you might imagine. Whew, my God. He says, I can assure you of this. Every pastor is fractured, and some more than you might imagine. Whew, Lord. He says, but as someone once pointed out, it is our fractures that allow God's light in and out of our souls. Oh, my God. James 4:6 says, because I am broken, I am humbled, and God delights to work with the humble. Oh, my God. Because I am fractured, I am relatable, and people want to connect with the person who is authentic and true. Oh, my God. My God. Then he says, by the way, Paul, the great missionary and author of most of the New Testament, boasted about his weakness. Woo, Lord. He says, in another one of his blogs, he says, another one of his books, he talks about brokenness. Broken and humbled. I preached a sermon one time right at the church, and it's one of my favorites, and I simply entitled it, I Might Be Broken, But I'm Still Blessed. I Might Be Broken, But I'm Still Blessed. Woo, Lord. And the thought process behind it was this very same thing, this theme for James, where it just talks about, yes, I got a lot of issues going on. But the fact that God still uses me in spite of, oh my God, watch this, the fact that God still uses me to bless other people in spite of my own situation. Yes, Lord. You see what I'm saying? That there is something to that. Someone typed this earlier. I think it's a verse of a song, and it says, there's beauty in my brokenness. Woo! My God. Ah, yes, it is. Now, don't get me wrong, and I like what the writer says. Nobody feels, this is what the writer says. He says, nobody feels more pressure to be perfect than the person in the pulpit. Nobody feels more pressure to be perfect than the person in the pulpit. Can I help y'all? I remember the first time sitting in the pulpit, and my very first time sitting in the pulpit, and we used to wear robes, sometimes I wear robes and all that stuff, and I, you know, if you guys didn't know this, my ears are pierced. I don't know if y'all can see that, those of you watching on Facebook Live, my ears are pierced. I have earrings in my ear. I have one hole in my right ear and two holes in my left ear. My ears are pierced, right? And so the first time I went into the pulpit, I was excited just to be able to sit in the pulpit, because the pulpit, even though I know it's just wood and it's just a area of the church, it has no spiritual significance, it holds no real power, but I'm talking about the place of it, it holds no real power, I was honored and excited, and I still am, to be able to sit in this area. And I had so many, you know, people come, you know, okay, so, you know, the whole thing, you know, when I sit, you like to be comfortable. You know, if you're sitting at home, you know, you lean back and all that. But, you know, you try to sit with good posture and you want to sit upright, and because you want to make sure you look right and that nobody says anything, you know, about your legs being crossed the wrong way, or, you know, you were slumping, or you're sitting with your legs too far wide open. Well, I'm a dude. I sit with my legs open. That's how guys sit, you know. But, you know, you're sitting, you're doing this, and then, you know, I had somebody say, well, you know, when you come into the pulpit, maybe you should take your earrings off. And I asked the question, are my earrings going to stop somebody from being saved? If you can tell me and show me that my earrings are going to stop somebody from being saved, I'll never wear them again. Not even to the pulpit, I just won't ever wear them again. If somebody could tell me and show me that me wearing earrings is going to stop somebody from being saved. But we want perfection, though. We want to put on the, we want to give the appearance. We want to exude perfection. We want to exude this thing. We don't want to show any frailty. We want you to, when you look up at that stars, we want you to see the very image of God. But that was never God's intention. See, that's some pressure and less that we put on ourselves. That was never God's intention. Yes, I should be able to see the Christ in you, but I don't expect you to walk around all the time and never give a sense that anything's bothering you. When you stub your toe, I want you to holler just like I would. If you touch a hot pot on the stove, you ought to holler just like I do. Don't tell me that, you know, if they had a pot a little hotter, they wouldn't holler. Don't give me that. That's not authentic. That's not real life. Come on now. What you say, Mama, I was asked to take my diamond earrings off because that was not of God. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you like this, Mama. God made these not diamonds. At least I know mine look. The ones in my ear weren't manufactured in some stone. These came out of some mine somewhere that somebody bought on something and I'm compressed over the years. But, you know, God made these for me. Now, that's what you tell them next time. If somebody asks you about your, and if you got on some cubic, for those of you wearing them cubic zircons, let me finish up the article. So the writer says this. He says, let me be clear. Not for a second am I suggesting that we wallow in our weakness. Of course, holiness matters. He says, I never want to use my human condition of imperfection as an excuse to keep sinning. Let me read that again. I never want to use my human condition as an imperfection as an excuse to keep sinning. He says this, though. He says, however, I will sin. I will fail, and I am broken. But, oh, my God. Oh, my God. He says, but I am growing. I am free of shame. And I am loved. My, 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 my. That's God right there. Yeah. He says, however, I will sin. I will fall. I will fail. And I am broken. But I am growing. I am free of shame. And I am loved. Oh, my God. See, now, some of y'all too holy. Some of y'all too holy. If your pastor got up and said that, some of y'all might say, well, you need to sit down, pastor. Because y'all want y'all pastors on these pedestals. Y'all want y'all pastors sitting on these thrones of infallibility. Guess what? That does not exist. Huh? You know what I like to think about? Oh, my God. I just got this. Y'all, help me. I just got this. Job, if Job was a pastor, y'all stay with me. Ooh, wait a minute, this fits us today. They might shut the show down after this. If Job was a pastor, matter of fact, that's a sermon title right there. Who got? If Job was a pastor, and all of a sudden, Job, but the Bible describes Job as perfect and upright. Come on, somebody. That's how the Bible describes Job as perfect and upright. How we want our pastors, perfect and upright. If Job was a pastor today, walking perfect and upright, right? He had all these things. You know, Job was a rich man. He was very well off. He had property. He had a bunch of kids and everybody. He had a lot of friends and everybody loved him and respected him and all these other things. And then all of a sudden, all of these bad things started happening to Job. Huh? All of these bad things started happening to Job. You know how church folk would turn their back, how fast they would turn on Job? Do y'all know how fast somebody would say, hey, Job, you got all this stuff going on in your life. You need to get somewhere and sit down. Oh, now imagine this now. Stay with me. Now imagine Job and Job's first lady. Now that Job is going through all this, and Job is still praising the Lord, and Job is still thanking God, and Job is still pushing through and pushing forward despite all of his ailments, despite the family turmoil he's going through, despite the financial issues he's going through. Could you just imagine Job being the pastor of somebody's church, of your church, and all of a sudden Job is struggling, and then Job's own wife even say, "Well, Job, look here, what are you just going to curse your God and die?" And says this in front, and you can tell in her attitude that she's over it and she's ready for this thing to end. Could you imagine how church folk would treat Job? Y'all don't get me. Could you imagine how church folk would treat Job today? Church folk would want Job out of the church. "Oh, Job must have done something. Oh, Job, you need to step down. Oh, Job, you need to go get somewhere and find something again. Oh, Job, you got to go. Job, you must be sinning. That's the only reason God allowed that to happen, is because you're sinning." They wouldn't want Job in the church. They would run Job out of here so fast. Oh, my God. My God, my God, my God. There is. And thank you for that. Rashawn Mitchell, I'm going to see if I can find that on the way out of here. Rashawn Mitchell, dear, in my book. But there's something about it. Now, watch this. He says, "When we come to this place of peace, despite our imperfections, we'll find it much easier to love ourselves, to live free of fear, and to love others as we are loved. Grace is growing here. Yes, your pastor is broken, and it's okay. Why is it okay? Because you are too." Ah! That's why it's okay. It's okay that your pastor is broken. Why? Because you are too. You are too. You got issues too. Everything in your house ain't right. All of y'all bank accounts ain't right. All of y'all past ain't right. Hell, some of y'all presents ain't right. Don't get me started. Y'all pray for the preacher. Huh? You don't do everything right at your job. You don't handle all your money right. You ain't the best steward. You ain't the best financial advisor. You ain't the best husband. You ain't the best wife. You ain't the best son. You ain't the best daughter. So, yeah, your pastor's got some issues. Yeah, he might be broken, but so are you. Oh, my God. So are you. Let's go. He says this. Then the writer says, "Welcome to the fellowship of the fractured." Woo! Welcome to the fellowship of the fractured. He says this. He says, He says this. He says, "We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves." 2 Corinthians 4:7. Woo! My. Yeah. He says, "But we are ourselves like fragile clay jars." 2 Corinthians 4:7. Y'all need to look that up real quick. Let me grab it for you real quick. I'll give you a couple different versions. King James says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Woo! Yeah. Now let me give you the good old clean version. The English Standard Version, ESV, says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." It just makes it very clear that our power comes from God and not ourselves. That we are fragile clay jars of clay. We are fragile jars of clay. This is good, y'all. This, that man, look here. This is all right here. This is all right here. So look, y'all. Wow. Wow. Okay. Yeah. So look, I didn't share this with y'all. So Pastor Parks, let me share this with y'all, and I really need y'all to pray, like real quick. I need y'all to join in with me in agreement, like right now. So Pastor Parks was not here on Monday because he was ill. Okay. So was not here on Monday because he was ill. I don't share people's information unless I'm told to. I'm not that guy. I don't do that. He was ill. He was not here. He's not here today. Because he had to go to the doctor. Okay? And he got some news today. So what I want you all to do is pray for Pastor Parks. And y'all pray for Pastor Parks. Y'all pray for First Bethel Church. And we're going to pray for his healing right now. That's what we're going to do. So I need that to be the mindset. And before I pray, I just want to make sure we're in agreement. Those of you who are on Facebook Live, those of you all on history, if you can do this for me so that I know that we are in agreement, just real quick, I don't ask y'all to do much, but just type in Pastor Parks. Just type in Pastor Parks. That's all I need you to type. You ain't got to type nothing else. Just show me that you are in agreement. Just type in Pastor Parks. That's all I need you to do. Just type on and send, just type it in the comments. Just type in Pastor Parks. That's all I need you to do. Let's just type it in the box. Come on. We gonna be in agreement about this prayer. That's all I need you to do. Come on, I got one. Come on, it's a bunch of y'all in here, so I'm expecting to see a bunch more. Come on, there we go. Come on. There we go. Come on. I see you. Come on. There we go. Come on in here. Come on. Yeah. Come on. Keep it going. Because that way when I pray, see, I know it ain't just me. It's all of us. Come on. Type Pastor Parks. Come on. Keep it going. Come on. Keep it going. That's it. Now. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name right now, God, we come on behalf of our brother, Pastor Cornelius Parks. God, you know what the doctor said, but I know a God. I know a God who can do all things but fail. So God, right now I come standing just like the did when the spies came back with the report. Whose report? What do you believe? I heard what the doctor said, but I know a man who they call a healer. I know a man who they call a deliverer. I know a man who came to set the captives free. So right now, I stand on not what I believe, but what I know to be true. And I know that he's a healer. So right now, God, we come standing right now in the gap for our brother, Pastor Cornelius Parks. God, whatever the ailment is, whatever the doctor has told him, God, we call that thing dead, and we call that thing removed right now, God. We call down divine healing right now, God. We ask that we know that there's still a bomb in Gilead. We know that there's still a bomb in Gilead. We know that there's still power in the blood of Jesus. We know that the blood still works, God. We know this, God. Not that we believe it. We know it. We've seen it happen, God. So you've been it before. You have to do it again. So right now, God, we decree, we call this thing done in Jesus' name. God, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, we call this thing done. Amen. Look at y'all now. Woo! Bye. Yeah. So look at y'all. I am, we're going to continue to pray for him. I got a text message from him a few moments ago. I talked to him earlier this morning, but I got a text message from him a few moments ago with what's going on. So I'm going to leave it to him if he chooses to share with you about that. Y'all know Pastor Parks is very transparent. So if he chooses to share that with you all, those of you who know him personally, feel free to reach out, contact him. Those of you if you're friends with him on Facebook, send him a message. Send him a message. Let him know that you pray, that we all stood in agreement today. That we're standing in agreement. We're standing in the gap for this thing to pass. So I just wanted to make sure I did that for my brother. Look, there's so much stuff going on, right? Record man, look, watch this, y'all. We got some big announcements coming for the show. We got some announcements coming for the show. But that's all I'm gonna tell you. That's all I'm gonna tell you. That's all I'm gonna tell you. But y'all need to be ready, though. Y'all need to be ready. Y'all know we always do something different. Every year, we do something different. Every year, we do something different. We change something. We decorated 1 year. We added some folk 1 year. We added a couple of people over the years. We every year, we make some changes around here. Y'all need to get ready. Y'all need to get ready. That's all. I've been instructed. Don't say nothing. Don't do nothing else. That's it. That's all I can say. I'm on the restriction like the Star Wars people. I can't talk about it. I just can't. That's all I can tell you is to get ready. Like Timmy Talk say, get ready, get ready, get ready. That's all I can tell you. But it's going to be good. It's going to be good. I just wanna make sure that I did that right. So look, y'all, it's been wonderful, man. Y'all. Despite, I again want to apologize for the technical issues on Ronald and that's blaming the producer stuff. I don't know when this stuff started. So I'm on this side over here. I don't know what all this name, where the producer's name came from, stuff. That's all that going on. Y'all need some help. Y'all really do. But anyway. I'm going to try to get out of here. We have all been praying, but I'm going to continue praying. We continue prayer for Pastor Parks and continue prayer for anyone else. Also, so you have to continue prayer for one of my church members here, Sister. Oh my God, Sister Darlene Roberts here at our church. She's having research. I believe it's going to be either today or tomorrow. But you pray for her. Continue to pray for our partner in the show, Deacon Levy McCurtis, who is still experiencing some pain and things like that. But you want to continue to pray for them as well. So we're going to get out of here, y'all. We're going to get out. God stay blessed, man. I love y'all. Y'all keep y'all head. If you're driving through this crazy city, man, pray for the officers in the city of Chicago last night. He was shot not too far from me yesterday. He was shot. The officers were shot in the city of Chicago last night. Two officers were shot last night. And this happened while I was at the police academy. We heard this on the radio. So, and man, it's the mood changes around the police department when one of their own is shot just doing regular work. They weren't even out working the case. They were just doing some fire and were kind of ambushed and shot. They both are in stable condition today, but you're definitely going to keep them in your prayers. And I did not share with you all the story about my Southwest Police Academy training last night. I share with y'all on Friday because we all have the time. We got to go. And but anyway, y'all do that. Keep everyone in your prayers. If you got to drive up and down the city of Chicago, you know what to do. Keep your head on the swivel. Y'all stop us, man. I got to go. Love y'all. Bye.
Oh, how he loves me singing.
Oh, how he loves me.
Oh, how he loves me. Oh, I'm singing, oh, how he loves me. Listen.
Oh,
for he loves me.
He loves me. Yes, he really loves me.
He loves me.
He loves me. Yes, he really loves me.
In spite of my wrong.
He loves me. Yes, he really loves me.
Really, really loves me.
He loves me. Yes, he really loves me.
I have many faults.
He loves me. Yes, he really loves me.
Even happy faults.
He loves me.
But
he
that
really
don't stop
me.
Him from loving me.
He loves me. Yes,
it
he
don't
really
stop
loves
him
me.
From loving me.
He loves me.
Yeah, don't
he
be
really
loving.
Loves
oh,
me.
Oh, you love me.
He loves me. Yes, he really loves me.
Then he really loves me.
He loves me. Yes, he really loves me.
Then he really loves me.
He loves me. Yes, he really
yes,
loves me.
Yes, he really loves me.
He loves me.
I
yes,
cannot
really
tell it all.
Come on, give him some praise.